Hello, and welcome to The Analytic Angle, a podcast brought to you from the Statistics, Data Science, and Data Management Corps in the HIV Center at the New York State Psychiatric Institute and Columbia University. In this episode, we talk about our different approaches to reading published scientific papers.
Hi, this is Kale.
And this is Martina.
Hi, Martina. Today I thought we'd have a conversation about reading scientific papers and how we approach reading a scientific paper and understanding what's written in a scientific paper.
That is interesting. I bet we are not reading papers similarly. How do you read scientific papers?
I guess I read scientific papers in the most straightforward way possible, which is I just start at the beginning with the abstract, and then I just read linearly through the paper from the introduction to the methods to the results to the discussion.
Really? So you're really starting from the abstract. Do you always understand the abstract when you start with it?
You know what? I actually often don't understand the abstract very well. It's funny because I think the goal of an abstract is to communicate to the reader, like, kind of quickly and clearly what's going on. But so many journals, the abstracts are so few words that actually the information is so condensed that I find I only really understand abstracts after I've read the whole paper.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I don't start with the abstract, because it always makes me sort of upset that I don't understand the paper. So I usually start reading paper from the middle of the paper or towards the end. I start in a results section that I think I will understand the most clearly. And then I jump around and read the pieces of the paper that I need to know to understand the results sections better. Once I understand how the results happen, I go to the discussion to see whether my understanding and the discussion about the results align. And then I go back to the results, and then I go back to the methods and back to the results. I'm definitely not a linear reader of the paper.
That's interesting. You mentioned all the sections except the introduction. Do you ever make it to the introduction, or is it the last thing?
I read the introduction as the last thing, and then usually I read the abstract when I have full understanding of the paper. But if I start reading the paper linearly, I am so confused before I get to results sections that usually I lose an interest.
That's funny, because I don't think you're the first person I've talked to who have said that. Like, a lot of people, I think, jump around, and it almost makes me wonder if maybe the sections of a paper aren't in the best order to begin with, because so many people start with something in the middle. Do you think that your approach is grounded in the fact that you are very statistically and methods minded?
Possibly. I feel like the results section is the least threatening and the easiest for me to understand. And I mostly jump, like, the first thing that I want to see in the paper are the pictures that I hope portray the most important results. Then I read the tables and the results about the pictures. Then I usually want to know, okay, how the predictors or how the outcomes were measured. So I go into the methods. If I understand how these things were measured, then I go back into the results, what exactly is again said and how it compares to, for instance, confidence intervals obtained or, you know, effect sizes. Then I think about, okay, what is the type of the study? And so I am very much jumping around. At the end of the day, I read the whole paper, sometimes multiple times, but I cannot read papers linearly.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I guess for me, I don't know if it's a little bit of the background in epidemiology or trying to understand, like, why the researchers are getting after the question that they're after, but I just really do like to read that introduction first. I do think many times what is said in the introduction doesn't always match up with exactly what happens in the methods and results, which is interesting.
True. Do you think that is because the paper was also written linearly, or because different sections of the paper were written by different people?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think we both know, because we've both written a lot of, like, methods and results sections, that sometimes those sections can be written by the more technically oriented people.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily have the same word choice or description of terms that is elsewhere in the paper. And that can be really confusing because, like, in the intro and discussion, they'll refer to some term or even an outcome or some concept, and it's described really differently when they actually went to do the analysis and the methods and results.
That is very true, because when I start from the results section, I get used to a certain technical naming and description of the variables or of the methods. And then when I start reading maybe discussion or introduction, they use completely different naming and different sort of way of describing it, and it's confusing. So what do you think needs to be done when one writes a paper and uses a team of people, someone else is writing introduction, that could be maybe a doctor or someone who understands the practical topic, but someone technical writes the results and methods section? What needs to be done to have it more uniform?
I think the best thing is for somebody to, maybe who hasn't read the paper in a little while, to go back and read through the entire thing and just make sure that the terminology is consistent and that the goals of the paper are actually reflected in the methods and results.
Yeah. I think it's really important to not finish the paper the last night before submitting. And then there needs to be a little bit of a time when one can go back and read the paper with fresh eyes again, or use someone, a third party, for that. Because especially like the naming, the notation, the way how one refers to outcomes and to the analysis has to be consistent throughout the whole paper, and not that one section talks about arms of the study and the other talks about randomized groups of the study, for instance, as an example.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's hard because a lot of times the people who are working on the paper are so familiar with the data and so familiar with the project that they just think things are obvious when they describe them in similar ways or use different words for the same thing. Yeah. But when you're an outside reader, it can be really confusing when the terminology is switching around, or when they're just interchangeably describing things with different words. I also like to spend a lot of time on the tables and figures. I know this is also a hobby of yours, but when you look at a published paper, you can almost always find something a little strange in the tables or figures.
There's always something.
And I can reveal that in one of your classes, I know that you've highlighted a lot of papers and shared with students all the small errors that end up in the tables, because it's very easy for it to happen.
Yeah. We all are humans, and I mean, mistakes will happen, and there's nothing wrong with small errors, but sometimes these errors then permeate into the paper and become a bigger issue, and that needs to be avoided. One thing that we can also talk about is that writing papers might be very similar to writing grant proposals. And I think the issue that multiple people participate and write is bigger than in grant proposals than in papers, because the grant proposals are usually written by a team of people, and usually there is not enough time to do the polishing at the end.
Yeah, no, I think that is definitely a similarity. I know that we've worked on teams where one person has actually had the role at the end to try to reread everything and like consolidate the language and make sure that it all kind of lines up and makes sense. And I think that's a really smart thing to do.
Yeah. I think it goes really long way if the grant proposal is polished and uses the same terminology in the introduction as well as in a methods, stat method section, or in the power analyses, and that it's clearly sort of unified, because it helps then the reviewer to understand the main point of the proposal instead of trying to figure out whether this means that or if it is this different thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been really interesting, I think, to touch base a little bit about how we read papers and how we approach them. I don't think I could handle jumping around as much.
I am still stunned that you're reading papers linearly. I think that would put me asleep somewhere in the middle of an introduction section.
guess it's not entirely linearly. I do look back sometimes. It's not like I have a policy of never looking back at all. But yeah, it is funny just to see how different people's brains work and how they process stuff like academic papers.
I had no idea. And this concludes another episode of our podcast, The Analytic Angle, from the Statistics, Data Science, and Data Management Core in HIV Center for Clinical and Behavioral Studies.